Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, July the 3rd, 2019. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study, looking at the things that are around us, observing the fulfillment of your prophecies. We ask, Lord, that you would fill us with faith and truth and understanding, that we might be able to stand with you and share that truth that we have quickly with others around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I want to take a look at an article found in the ACLU website. And the article was originally published on March the 20th, 2019. The writer of the article is Alexander Sverdlik. Let me spell that last name for you. S-V-E-R-D-L-I-K. Let me spell it a second time. S-V-E-R-D-L-I-K. The title of the article is Border Patrol and ICE Routinely Violate Immigrants' Religious Rights. Now, of course, this is about the southern border and what is happening over there. Let me give you the title again. Border Patrol and ICE or ICE Routinely Violate Immigrants' Religious Rights. Here's that article. One pork sandwich every 8 hours for 6 straight days. That's the only food that Border Patrol provided for Adnan Asif Parveen, a Muslim immigrant who was detained in South Texas in January because his work permit had expired and was pending renewal. Mr. Parveen reportedly informed officials that his religion forbids him from eating pork. But they didn't care. All he could eat were the slices of bread from the sandwich. Mr. Parveen's experience was not an isolated incident. While President Trump and his administration have repeatedly proclaimed their commitment to religious liberty in practice, this has only translated to religious freedom for some. Detained immigrants are apparently not among them. Detained immigrants from various faiths, Muslims, Sikhs, Hindus, Christians, have reported incidents in which Border Patrol and Immigration and Custom Enforcement brazenly violate their religious freedom rights. Take, for instance, Border Patrol's treatment of Christians. Despite the agency's religious sensitivity policy, which directs officers and agents to remain cognizant of an individual's religious beliefs while accomplishing an enforcement action in a dignified and respectful manner, officials have seized rosaries from Catholic immigrants. One janitor found so many rosaries discarded by Border Patrol officials that he was able to create and photograph an entire collection of them. Immigrants have had their Bibles confiscated at the border, including Catholic and Seventh-day Adventist men, represented in a lawsuit filed last year by the ACLU. The situation is no better for immigrants detained across the country by ICE, which frequently denies them access to clergy, worship services, religious texts, religious diets, and an appropriate place to pray. For example, according to a report released this month by Disability Rights California, immigrants detained at the Adelanto ICE Processing Center, the largest ICE jail in California, have been denied adequate access to religious texts related to their faith or in their language. And a lawsuit filed a few weeks ago by Muslim immigrants detained at the Gladys County Detention Center in Florida details how they have been denied adequate prayer services, copies of the Quran, religious headwear, and religiously compliant diets. When asked by one detained immigrant why Muslims were treated so disfavorably, the chaplain replied, "Boy, you're in Gladys County now." Immigrants detained by ICE last year at federal prisons faced similar conditions. In Sheridan, Oregon, Sikh asylum seekers were forced to pray next to dirty toilets. When the men were denied turbans, they tried to wear towels or t-shirts on their heads during prayer, only to have the guards rip them off. In Victorville, California, Presbyterian, Catholic, Seventh-day Adventist, Sikh, Muslim, and Hindu immigrants detained at a federal prison were not allowed to attend worship services or participate in any group prayer or religious study. One immigrant was even admonished for singing hymns to himself in his cell. Immigrants there were also denied religious headwear and access to religious texts such as the Bible and the Quran. This sort of treatment is not just morally reprehensible. It's against the law. Federal statutes provide heightened protections for religious exercise. This extends to immigrants and in the incarcerated individuals who are especially vulnerable to neglect, mistreatment, and other abuses. That's why we've sent a letter to the Department of Homeland Security calling on its officers of Inspector General and Office of Civil Rights and Civil Liberties to launch a thorough investigation and take action. Unlike some of the countries from which these individuals are fleeing, the United States was founded on the belief that everyone is entitled to religious freedom. ICE and Border Patrol must stop making a mockery of our most cherished principles by denying immigrants the fundamental right to practice their faith. Now, that article is worth your review. It's found in the ACLU website, published March the 20th, 2019. The title of the article is Border Patrol and ICE Routinely Violate Immigrants' Religious Rights. There's another article here found in the Huffington Post, published February the 27th, 2019. The writer of that article is Rogue Planas, last name spelled P-L-A-N-A-S. The title of the article is Border Patrol Fed Pork to Muslim Detainee for 6 Days. And there's a subtext which says, a permit allowing him to stay with his American wife and work legally wasn't enough to keep Adnan Asif Parveen from landing in detention. Of course, we took a look at that incident in the other article, but I'd like to see what the Huffington Post has to say here and share that with you. Here's the article. Despite holding a permit entitling him to work in the United States, Adnan Parveen found himself lying on the cold floor of a Border Patrol detention facility with an aluminum sheet for a blanket. Even if he hadn't been crammed into a gated room with 36 migrants recently arrested at the border, it would have been difficult to sleep. His wife didn't know where he was, and he had barely eaten. For the 6 days he spent in Border Patrol custody last month, he said the only food he received was a pork sandwich every 8 hours. He explained that as a Muslim, he had to refuse. When the guards offered nothing else, he picked off the meat and ate just the bread. Help us tell more of the stories that matter from voices that too often remain unheard, says one of the men who were there. Customs and Border Protection declined to comment on the case, citing privacy concerns. A spokeswoman referred Huffington Post to the agency's detention standards, which require its officers to remain cognizant of a detainee's religious and other dietary restrictions. A few days after Asif's arrest, two officers with Immigration and Customs Enforcement came to interview him about possible terrorist ties, he said. They took his phone and searched his contact list and social media. They asked if at the mosque they say anything against the U.S. government. Asif told Huffington Post, I said no, the mosque is where you go to pray. It's unclear what could have prompted the questioning other than Asif's national origin and religion. ICE declined to discuss the interview or confirm whether it took place. Asif has no criminal record in the United States where he lived since 2014, according to his lawyer, Kathy Potter. He says he has no record in Spain, where he was raised, or in Pakistan, where he was born. Several times over Asif's 6 days in Border Patrol custody, agents presented him with paperwork authorizing his deportation to Spain and asked if he wanted to sign. The last time, Asif was visibly upset. When one of the agents asked why, Asif said he was worried about his wife back in Ohio, who struggles with her health. The agent allowed him to make a 5-minute phone call. When she answered, Asif found she had flown to Texas days earlier to look for him. After he hung up, he flatly refused to sign his deportation order. "I wanted to be with my wife," Asif said, and I said, "No, I'm not signing my deportation. I'm not going back like that." Asif is now locked up at an ICE detention center in Port Isabel in South Texas, his work permit set to expire this month. But his arrest and looming possibility of deportation highlights how the bureaucratic complexity of the immigration enforcement system and peculiar scrutiny cast upon Muslims can jeopardize the status of immigrants, even if they hold documents allowing them to work here. "This just blows my mind," Potter says, Asif's lawyer. "He's not a danger to his community. He's certainly not a flight risk. He's got a wife and he's devoted to her. Yet, he's detained and ICE refuses to release him." But Potter suspects her client's problems with the U.S. immigration authorities began well before he drove to South Texas. "I just don't think it makes sense that immigration can tell someone it's okay to be here and then take that away and say you're going to deport them," his wife said. Asif had no intention to stay in the United States when he came to visit his uncle and cousins in New York in 2014. But he struck up a conversation with a woman named Jennifer, who happened to live in Columbus, Ohio, on a dating app called Badoo. By coincidence, Asif's uncle owned a gas station out there, and the two planned a visit. Asif took Jennifer on their first date for coffee at Burger King, and he was still learning English back then, and she didn't know any of the other languages that he spoke, Urdu, Hindu, Punjabi, or Spanish. So he translated phrases on the spot, gesturing with his hands and scrolling through family pictures on his phone. Their limited communication was effective enough for them to understand they wanted to keep seeing each other. Asif never made it back to New York, let alone Spain. "I didn't like the idea of leaving him," Jennifer said. They moved in together, ignoring for the moment that the decision meant his legal status in the country had slipped away. "When you are happy with someone, you don't think about your problems." At times, he considered returning to Europe with Jennifer, but they agreed that the United States offered better work opportunities, which meant getting him on the right side of the law. They married in September of 2016, and Jennifer's 35th birthday. She sponsored him for a green card. Because he entered legally, he didn't have to return to Europe to apply. U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services gave him a work permit and within a year had scheduled an interview, the final step in the green card process. But as the day approached, USCIS canceled the interview, telling the couple Asif's application required a more extensive background check. Asif and Jennifer called periodically for updates, but a year and a half later, the check remained incomplete and the new interview unscheduled. The work permit, however, opened up more of the opportunities he had hoped for. He left his old job working off the books and started driving for Uber and Lyft. He got a major paid bump last year after joining his cousin's business, crisscrossing the country with a semi-truck driver. His last route took him to South Texas, an assignment he would have refused had he understood the implications. As Asif drove towards that part of the world around 1 a.m. on January the 11th, he passed a sign warning him of an inspection station 1 mile away. He didn't understand why he had to stop, but a second sign offered a clue. "Smuggling illegal aliens is a federal crime," he read. That part of Texas lies about 80 miles from the nearest crossing to Mexico. But since the mid-1990s, Border Patrol has expanded checkpoints up to 100 miles from the interior of the United States to halt migrants and seize contraband over the objections of legal groups that view the stops as systematic violations of the Fourth Amendment. Outsiders are often only dimly aware that the checkpoints lie along virtually every major road extending from the U.S.-Mexican border, though they routinely result in high-profile stops. Country singer Willie Nelson, rapper Snoop Dogg, and former Texas Monthly contributor-editor Al Reinhart are among the hapless victims busted for pot at such checkpoints, which are often staffed with drug-sniffing dogs. Agents who staff the checkpoints usually ask drivers just one question. Are you a U.S. citizen? When it was Asif's turn to pass a flashing camera and park under the metal canopy, he said no and offered his work permit. The document had expired in August. Asif had applied for a renewal a month before then, but had yet to receive it. This shouldn't have been a problem. USCIS automatically extends work authorization, like Asif's, for 6 months to avoid problems with processing delays. But the agent pulled Asif aside for questioning. Asif searched his phone for proof of the automation extension, but Border Patrol declined to accept it. By around 7 a.m., officers had taken him into custody. Jennifer found out about her husband's arrest from his cousin, who had to go to Texas to recover the truck. 2 days later, she flew there to look for him. She had no luck until the day she received the call. She saw him for the first time since his arrest after Border Patrol transfers him to ICE detention at Port Isabel. For about 2 weeks, she visited him daily, but the emergency visit cost her the part-time job she held caring for people with disabilities. Without Asif's income, she returned to Columbus, where now she's driving for Uber and Lyft. I just don't think it makes sense that immigration can tell someone it's okay if to be here and then take that away and say you're going to be deported. A lot of things don't make sense right now, she says. It's not clear why Border Patrol chose to detain Asif at the checkpoint, though bureaucratic inefficiency might help explain it. Border Patrol checkpoints have ensnared others and who shouldn't have had problems with immigration authorities. Agents have detained several recipients of deferred action for childhood arrivals. The Obama-era program shielded undocumented immigrants who came to the U.S. as children and teens, for example. Asif's lawyer, Potter, suspects that the agents who stopped him lacked access to information from USCIS that showed the validity of her client's work permit. But Potter thinks her client landed in detention because he'd already faced discrimination when applying for his green card. USCIS declined to comment about the case, citing privacy concerns, but the agency had faced repeated lawsuits for indefinitely delaying green card, visa, and citizenship applications for Muslim applicants without citing reasons. A 2012 lawsuit unearthed a program called Control Application Review and Resolution Program that many lawyers view as an illegal screening program targeting people from Muslim-majority countries. The program began without public notice during the last year of George W. Bush's presidency and has continued until the present day. USCIS has largely refrained from discussing it outside the context of lawsuits and Freedom of Information Act requests. The American Civil Liberties Union, which is suing to overturn it, estimates that the program delayed more than 40,000 applications from 2008 to 2016 alone. We have long-standing concerns that targets people based on innocent activity and wrongly and unfairly focuses on Muslims and members of Arab, Middle Eastern, and South Asian communities. USCIS doesn't tell those targeted by the program why the agency delays their applications, but attorney James Hacking, who has filed more than 200 federal lawsuits challenging delays in visa, green card, citizenship applications, said Asif's case of indefinite delay for an interview over an unspecified background fits the pattern. So you notice what is happening here. There are some people, they make a mistake and they drive in that part of the world. They are seriously in trouble. Now, this is the direction in which the country is heading, and this is a serious matter. And I want you to understand that this is not how the country started out. This is not where we started out. But this is where we are heading. This is a fulfillment of Revelation chapter 13 and verse 12. Actually, verse 11, which says, that this nation, which was once a Christ-like nation, loving, kind, accepting those who were in need of help, will ultimately begin to speak as a dragon. The dragon speech has begun many years ago, but now it is intensified to a serious place. You and I need to understand that this is just one of the prophecies that are being fulfilled. And you and I must be ready for the rest that will soon, soon, all come together. The people of God will ultimately be the object of hatred. They will be the point at which everyone will come together and unite to fight against those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. We must stand with God. We must be rooted and grounded and settled in the truth so that we cannot be moved. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to warn us and to show us the events that are taking place around us. We ask that you would continue to prepare us for the time to come so that our hearts might be prepared and that we will stand with you and for you, unmoved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, July the 3rd, 2019.